So good morning, how are we? There we go, that's better. Well, welcome to Next Level Church. My name is Brad Medford. I am the student pastor here. And always just want to say thank you to Pastor Clay for the opportunity to be on the stage and to share with you today. So we are wrapping up a series today that we've called Snapshot, as we've been kind of bouncing around and looking at a few different topics. And so the title of today's message is Unqualified. And so to kick off this conversation, I want to share with you a movie clip. You can debate this with me later, but I personally believe it is a clip from one of the best, at least, movie series ever, all time, period. I'm right. Here we go. So there's a lot in that clip, and just a quick side note, I want to be Gandalf when I grow up. I'm just saying, like, I just imagine myself when I'm, like, in my 70s, just saying really wise things at every moment. Anyway, completely different thing. But here's the thing that I want you to catch from that clip, and it's the look that Frodo gets as more of what's really sitting on him, what is resting on his shoulders as he gets more knowledge. And this happens throughout the movies. It's just like more and more is revealed, and you can just see the feelings of being overwhelmed flood over him. And so my question for you is, have you ever felt unqualified? Have you ever had a moment, and I think we all have, but have you ever had that moment where you felt like, wow, this thing is too much. I am not qualified for this. I'm not ready for this. I'm not equipped for this. I think that's what we see with Frodo in this clip, is as he realizes all these things that are happening and all of this that is resting on his shoulders, he says, man, I wish I had never found the ring. I wish that this didn't happen. He feels unqualified. And I've definitely been there. Just a little bit of my own story with this. Like I told you guys the last time I was on the stage, as I get the opportunity to speak, and because it's not every week, it's so much it's what God is teaching me in the moment. And so with this idea of being unqualified, I have many moments in my life that I can look back on and go, yeah, felt that. I can remember getting out of college and my first job teaching. I have an education degree, was a band director for a while, and I can remember the process by which I ended up with that job. I got a call on Friday and school started on Thursday. I was out of town on Friday, so I came in, I interviewed on Monday, they hired me, the next day was orientation. So I'm at orientation and parents are asking me questions and now I'm just on repeat. I got hired yesterday. I don't know yet. I'm sure it looked great to the parents of the school, but like I had just gotten there. And on Thursday, we started school and we started class. I was overwhelmed. And in that moment, I felt unqualified to get that thing going. Another moment that comes to my mind, and maybe you share this one with me, parenting, and I'm going to talk about that a few times today. Parenting, man, did I feel unqualified. My wife and I weren't supposed to be able to have kids, which is a whole other story, but 3 years into marriage, suddenly we were pregnant, and in that moment, it was like, holy cow, like I'm going to be responsible for another human life. I definitely don't feel like I have the qualifications, that I don't have what it takes to do this, and yet that is where I found myself, and that's where many of us find ourselves. I think this is true of all of us, otherwise I probably wouldn't share it. I think we've all dealt with situations in life. We've all been in positions where we feel unqualified, where we look at something and we go, I was not cut out for this thing that is in front of me. I think the easiest connection for us to make probably is work. I think when I use the word qualified, we talk a lot about qualifications, especially if you've, you know, interviewed or done resumes or applied lately. The word qualification probably shoves you into this connotation of the working world. And I think for many of us, we've probably felt that at some time or another. We've had a job or we've applied for a job for which we felt unqualified, that the skills that I possess maybe don't quite match up. But I think today what I really want to dig into is a bit deeper than just the jobs that we hold. Maybe for you, you share that feeling as you look at your kids. If you are a parent, you look at your kids and you look at this task of raising children, whether they are in preschool right now or they are out of the home, you're still raising children. And you look at that and you go, man, I am not qualified to do this. I feel that regularly. I question, do I have what it takes Do I have the skills? Do I have the right things to say, the wisdom, the ability to discern between mercy and judgment and all of these things? Do I have what it takes? Am I qualified to raise these kids in a way that's going to honor God and it's going to produce kids that are going to go out and do great things like I hope that they will? I think many of us feel that. Maybe you feel it in your marriage. Maybe you look at the spouse that you have and whether you've been with them for a year or 31 years and you question, am I qualified for this person? Am I qualified for this relationship? Sometimes we go through things in our marriages. We hurt one another. If we're just honest about how marriage goes, it has ups, it has downs, it has peaks, it has valleys. Sometimes it works really well. Sometimes it doesn't work so well. And in that process, we hurt each other. And some days we get up and we go, man, I don't know that I'm worthy of this. I don't know if I'm qualified. I don't know if I have what it takes to keep going, to do this well, to be the spouse that I'm supposed to be. Or maybe it goes even deeper. Maybe it plain and simple is when you look in the mirror, you go, I don't know if I'm qualified for this life. Maybe you get up some mornings and you go, whatever it is I've got to face today, I don't feel like I've got what it takes. I don't feel like I have the necessary skills. And that's what I want to confront today. It's what I want us to look at. It's funny because we talk about this in many different ways in the church. I think it's interesting that we've even got some kind of cutesy catchphrases that we use in the church. I wrote down a few of them. Maybe you've heard this. If he brings you to it, he'll bring you through it. That's one of those that we recite a lot. And then sometimes you hear people say, God will never give you more than you can handle. By the way, that's a lie, and that's nowhere in Scripture. God will give you more than you can handle. Many of you know that to be the case because you've been there, and you're like, no, this is more. I'm pretty sure this is more. Another one we use, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. So we have these phrases around this idea of qualification and having what it takes. And these statements kind of get to the truth, but the fact is, if you've ever just kind of like said these to yourself, you realize it doesn't really change your circumstance. It doesn't really change what it is you're facing. You don't suddenly become more equipped by saying, God equips the called. I mean, you don't get like the download of the knowledge or whatever it is you need. But we say these things. I think we get that this is a thing, but that doesn't really do it. That doesn't fix it. We still have that situation. We still have that job, that relationship that we have to stare at. Some of us, as a result, we deal with this in many ways. Some of us escape. That's my number one. That's my chosen form of dealing with things in the not-so-healthy way is I just like to escape. I just want to run from things. So I will find technology or whatever I can to just sink my attention into that's completely unrelated to anything I'm actually dealing with so that I don't have to think about it. Some people medicate with all sorts of things. Some people posture and just kind of take on this form of kind of pride and I'm going to charge through this and I can do anything, but really inside they're questioning themselves the whole time. So I don't know what you do, but we have lots of ways of dealing with this, but they don't address the issue. I think our issue is deeper, and that's what I want to get to today. I am convinced that God has a better way for us, and that's what I want to share with you today. So we're going to look back in the Old Testament. We're going to look at a story that I just absolutely love because it gives me so much encouragement. We are so capable of kind of getting outside of Scripture and just looking at life as we experience it and not looking at it through the lens of Scripture. That we can get in these places where, man, we just feel so unqualified, and why would God use me to do anything? But then when you look at Scripture and you see the people that God used, you go, wow, I'm at least as good as that guy. the stories are so encouraging and so helpful. So we're going to look, if you've got your Bible, you can go ahead and open up to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to look at this guy, Moses, who did amazing things, but he comes from some humble beginnings. And so to give you a little bit of context, Israel has been carried into captivity at the beginning of Exodus. They have become slaves to the Pharaoh. In Genesis, they had gone to Egypt and grown and prospered there. A great time of wealth happened, and you can read that all of that through Joseph's story. But a generation passes, and what was a really good relationship with Egypt becomes a relationship where they're scared because there's so many Israelites, so they decide to enslave them to keep it under control. And so all this abuse happens and slavery, And through that process, we're introduced to this guy, Moses. And Moses, when we find him, there's a story about his birth, and which is miraculous in and of itself. But if we fast forward a little bit to getting to where Moses is called, Moses is a shepherd. And what's funny is he's not even like a shepherd for his own sheep. He's working for his father-in-law, okay? Some of you have had that experience, but like Moses is working for the father-in-law. He is just tending sheep for his wife's dad. Nothing special, okay? He's not in like a, you know, God training program. It's not like he's off at some academy like for, you know, he's about to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. He's not in some specialized training school. He's watching sheep for his father-in-law. And so that's where we find him. And I'm going to read this first verse here in Exodus 3, verse 7. It says this, "Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. I know their sufferings." And I wanted to include this verse almost as an aside because here's what I know. Some of you have dealt with things and you are dealing with things and you wonder if God sees. And I kept this verse in today because I wanted you to just see our God is not a God who's blind, a God that is not present. He sees the affliction of his people. And so maybe that's just the thing that you needed to hear today is, hey, God may not be fixing it immediately. You may not be seeing change, but here's the truth. God sees the affliction of his people. He sees our suffering. He sees our pain. He sees what we go through. And in this situation, he sees that his people, the Israelites, are suffering in slavery in Egypt. And he decides, I've got to do something about this. And he begins to do that through this man, Moses. And so we see him call Moses to this task in verse 10. He says, "Come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." So God doesn't beat around the bush. Anyway, there is a burning bush. Didn't mean to do that, but whatever. He doesn't beat around the bush. He is the bush on fire. Anyway, God is direct in his call. He's very clear. There's nothing to misinterpret here, right? God's like, okay, here's the problem. It's time to move. Time to do something. Hey, Moses, you're going to go, and you're going to get my people out of Egypt. Simple enough. Easy, right? Okay, Moses responds. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Moses, when given the task, his response is not one of confidence. Again, remember, he's not been in a training school. He's been tending sheep. Okay, so when Moses begins to look at his qualifications, they come up lacking. I'm like, I've been dealing with farm animals, and now we're talking, let my people go. Okay, this is a big jump. Okay, so he is not on board. Immediately, he feels what many of us have felt, unqualified. God's response comes in the next verse. He says, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you've brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." So God says, hey, I'm going to be with you. And the proof is where you're standing right now. You see that mountain over there? When this is all said and done, you guys are going to worship me on that mountain. It's going to happen. And what I want to do is I want to spend the next few minutes peeling back the layers of this little dialogue between God and Moses, because I really believe the answer for us when we encounter these feelings of being unqualified, of being unequipped, of not having what it takes, I think the answer for us lies in this short, small exchange between God and Moses. First, I want us to look at the question that Moses asks, his initial response. God says, hey, I choose you, Moses. You are going to go. You're going to free my people out of Egypt. The first words out of Moses' mouth are, "Who am I?" Moses says, "Who am I that you would send me?" Moses begins to look at himself and his qualifications and the things that he has done, his life experience, his skills, his knowledge, and he goes, whoa, 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 who am I that you would send me? And what I want you to see in that question for Moses is that it actually has a whole lot less to do with the things that we think it does, these kind of external skills and qualifications, and it has a whole lot more to do with this word identity. Moses is really asking, who am I? In Moses' head, he probably would answer that question if you were to ask him, who are you, Moses? He would probably answer with, I'm a shepherd. That most of us, if you ask, you know, if we just go around the room and we go, who are you? Most of us tend to identify, we tend to answer that question with the thing that we do. Like, well, I'm a, you know, I would most likely say I'm a student pastor. That's what I do. And that's where Moses is, and he asks this question, who am I? Notice God's response. First, I want you to notice what he did not do. Notice that God did not begin to tell Moses how he was qualified, right? God didn't say to Moses, well, you know, you've been watching these sheep, and that's got this carryover skill. Really, I think you can transition nicely because you've been in control of this. I've been watching you for a while, and I've seen that thing back, you know, a while that you tried to escape from. You killed a guy. You might need to do that. I mean, I need somebody who's got that kind of boldness and strength. And he didn't, like, enter into this, like, let me build you up, Moses. Let me tell you why you can do this. He does not give Moses a pep talk. You know, how many times have you stood in front of the mirror and tried to give yourself a pep talk? Well, I've done this in my life, and I've done this in my life, and I beat this, and I can do this. And then you realize that only lasts for so long. God does not give Moses a pep talk. In fact, he doesn't even really address Moses, and that's kind of the point to this. If you look back, God's response, the first thing he says is, but I will be with you. He doesn't say, Moses, you can do this. Moses, you're qualified. Moses, you have what it takes. He says, I will be with you. So what we have here is this interaction is really based on these two things. Moses says, who am I? And God's response to who are you is, I will be with you. And here's what I believe. If we can get those things connected in our own lives, if we can get that connected in our heart and in our mind, that our identity, our answer to the question of who we are, if you are a Christ follower today, your answer to that is, I am one in whom God resides. I am one whom God walks along beside, who God is with. That is the response that God gives to Moses. So what I would encourage you to notice is that God's response does not start with Moses. And so, because of that, the answer for you, the solution to you being or feeling unqualified, does not start with you. For so many of us, we look to, what's the next thing I've got to do? What's the next challenge I've got to conquer? Maybe I need to read more books on this. And I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying that training and knowledge and skills are bad things, by all means. They are good things, but they are not the thing. Our problem is that is we elevate this skill gaining and knowledge gaining and all of these things. We elevate that to the prime position in our life for this next challenge that we've got to face, and we leave God down here. We sprinkle him on top. We pray that he would bless our efforts to keep gaining all of these things. Instead of starting with, God, my identity is, I am with you. And now as I am with you, I will seek to gain whatever skills or knowledge I need to move forward. It's an identity issue, and that's why God starts with, I will be with you. And I want you to see that this promise is so much better than the one that I think we want. How often do we pray, God, make me better at this? God, help me gain this skill, this ability. Help me get better at, you know, me personally, just sharing. God, help me be more patient. God, help me be more loving. Help me be more gentle. Help me be able to endure my children well. Okay, that probably sounds bad. Give me joy. That sounds better with my children. And we pray for all these things that really are these external sorts of things. And what God is saying is, I'll be with you. You don't need all of these things so much as you just need me. If you'll just focus on being with me, if you'll just focus on noticing that I'm there and building this relationship, you're going to become more joyful and more patient. and more able to endure if that is what you need. His promise is that the very presence of God will be with you as you go. So what does that mean for us? I realize that a message like this can get really kind of heady and wordy, and so I want to try really hard to give you things to walk with, and I would encourage you to try them this week. And here's what I will say. If I tell you to try something, I mean try it, and I mean tell me about it. Like, hit me up on social media and be like, Brad, that failed. I still feel like garbage or whatever. I don't care. Just bring it. I invite the feedback. But I want to try to give you a couple of things that you can do, some things that you can walk out with today. How do we fight these feelings? How do we fight these notions within ourselves that says, you can't do this, you're unqualified, you can't handle this? The first thing I would say is this: stop looking in the mirror. Number one is just stop looking in the mirror. Too many times we get these feelings and we stare back at ourselves and we just list the litany of things that we do not have. Because the fact is, all of us have a big, long list of things we're not good at. Because we're not superhumans, okay? So all of us, no matter how awesome you are, no matter how much you've accomplished in life, culture shows us this. We see people all the time who, in our eyes, have accomplished amazing, incredible things. Who we go, wow, that person is so much smarter, so much more athletic, so much more all of these things. And yet, time and time again, we see these stories where we realize they didn't feel like they were that awesome. We all have shortcomings. We all have things that we can't do, things that we're not good at, things that we wish we were better at, things we wish we were more developed in. So in those moments when you feel unqualified, stop staring in the mirror and listing all of those things off. Because the fact is, they're there. And that's not very helpful. So one way I would say that is this: what qualifies you to do what you've been called to do is not within you. What qualifies you to do what you've been called to do is not actually within you. And so my hope is that that takes some of the pressure off. My hope is that when you hear that, you don't go, what? I don't have it. No, hear it this way. You don't have to have it. You are not responsible for mustering up all of the things necessary to conquer and take on the life that is in front of you. What qualifies you does not come from inside you. And again, this is not an excuse for you to not do anything. This is not like your permission from the pastor to like stop working and stop trying to better yourself. Remember, it's about orientating the priorities here. Okay, my identity in Christ, my identity in God, being with Him, it comes before all of this other stuff that we tend to get backwards. So, like I said, stop looking in the mirror. The second thing is start looking up. Start looking up. Remind yourself. Instead of just saying these phrases, we shut down the thoughts of being unqualified and just remind yourself again and again, you are qualified because the one who has made you is walking with you. That's what qualifies you. I am qualified to parent my children because the one who made me, knowing that I was going to have those children, He made me knowing that, and He's walking with me as I do it. I am qualified to love my spouse well because the one who made me and knew where that was going is walking beside me as I do it. I am qualified to pastor students, to do all of these things in my life because the one who made me and created me to do it is also walking with me through it. When we begin to think these things, and we begin to fight in this way and remind ourselves, I think we can begin to find some of the freedom that Jesus came to bring. I want to close by looking at one more scripture. And really, this scripture it's probably my favorite part of this story. If you read through Exodus 3, and it goes through about halfway through Exodus 4, there's a dialogue there. I gave you a little bit of kind of the beginning of the conversation between God and Moses. There's a whole lot more to it. There's this whole back and forth. God teaches Moses some tricks. There's like a stick that turns into a snake, and there's a, yoo-hoo, hey, look, I'm a leper. I'm not. There's all kinds of crazy, interesting things in there. But one of the things that has always popped out at me and continues to encourage me is this little story. I didn't put it on the screen, but I'm going to read it for you. It says, this is in Exodus 4, verses 10 through 12. It says this: "But Moses said to the Lord, 'Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent.'" He's thinking skills. I don't have this qualification. You would think that to free the people from Israel, some public speaking might be necessary. Okay, and Moses is saying, "I failed that class. Either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." Moses keeps coming with these things, but I don't have this. I'm not qualified, God. And God goes, "Hey, I knew that before I picked you. Like, I'm not unaware of your weaknesses. I made you with those weaknesses, and I'm going to walk with you." As I was preparing for this, actually this just this morning, as I was thinking through this, I had this thought. It reminded me, kind of an analogy that I think helps paint this picture a little bit more clearly. Any of you have like a grandfather that's like a mechanic or a carpenter, or you have any of those memories of like a shop with just tons of tools? I have that. My grandfather was a certified Chevrolet mechanic from, I don't know how young he was when he started. When I was born, that's what he was doing. And as far as I know, that's the only thing he'd ever done. And it's what he did until he retired. And so he worked at a Chevy dealership. And he also, over the course of the years, he built a garage at home. He had a lift. And I remember as a kid going over there and just being amazed at the tools upon tools upon tools. There's just stuff everywhere. And he knew what went where. He had it all laid out. As I began to get a little bit older, I have memories of going over and he's maybe, you know, changing some brakes or he's doing some sort of job and I'm hanging out with him in the garage. And once I got a little older, he would say things like, "Hey, can you grab for me the 5/8 inch, whatever." He would have me grab tools for him. And as I was preparing this morning, I got to thinking and I'm like, man, that is so like our Father. He has an infinite amount of tools. He has us. We are the tools. And he has jobs. And he knows the intricacies of every tool. He knows what it can do, and he knows what it can't do. And he knows that because he made it that way. He created that tool for the job that he's about to use it to do. Friends, we are the tools. So when you look at your life and you look at the challenges that you have to face, remember, God created you for this. He knew before he ever made you what you're going to have to face, and he created you with what it's going to take. And not only did he do that, he didn't just say, "Hey, I'm going to make you and I'm going to send you out there, slap you on the butt, good luck." He said, "You know what? I'm going to go with you. So when it gets hard, I'll be there and you can lean on me. When you feel like you're missing something, I'll be there to provide it. When you're not sure about something, I can give you the wisdom to keep going." His promise is that I will be with you. I made you for this. I qualify you. And I'm going to walk with you through it. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you knew far in advance the challenges that would lay in front of us. You are not caught off guard. You are not surprised. God, you knew. And God, you created us. You knit us together in our mother's womb. You put us together knowing what was coming. So God, I pray that we would rest in that, that we would remind ourselves constantly of that, that we would stop looking in the mirror and seeing all of what we don't have, and that we would look up to see the God that we do have, the God who created us and has promised to go with us. God, help us to rest in that today. It's in your name we pray. Amen.